I got my speakers on mute. Yeah, no, thanks. You're all very welcome to our November meeting. And are there any, I've got an apology tendered by Councillor Johnny Jackson. Is there any further apologies? Councillor Kit Murphy, thank you. I have to read the small print before we go into the meeting proper. As I say, I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting, and hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. And can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the current guidelines with regards to the conduct of this meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I will remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee this evening. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business that it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the wall, I need a little bit of specsavers and get sorted out my glasses from the call, or leave the meeting room for the duration of the discussion on that item, and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting or come back into the chamber once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of this meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before you're speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. And please ensure, if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility and chat to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on before speaking, and cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would like to remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. This is Blockbusters. It's type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, and type S if you wish to second. And please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed will be second, and will record it as the seconder. So that's the statutory remarks. And first and foremost, I'd like to welcome a new councillor, Councillor Killian Feehan. He's now joined the committee, replacing Mr. Michael Savage. And Killian, you're very welcome to this committee, and you're on a good committee, one of the best, as I say, but you're very welcome. And as I say, I learned that the Kilkeel Christmas tree was damaged, I think it was last night, in the surrounding fence. And I think it's utterly despicable, and it's totally out of order altogether that someone who engages in this type of behaviour and vandalising a tree that is enjoyed and appreciated by residents of Kilkeel and district, and to go out and do that in the cover of darkness and damage the surrounding fence, I think it's despicable and really low. And I hope you're
sorry, Chair. Can I hit?
I wasn't too sure of the system here, but I'd like to take this opportunity. A lot has happened since our last meeting with Downpatrick and Uri and other parts of the district with the flooding. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the council, the council staff, agencies and individuals who went the extra mile to help out as best they can, and also to the other local authorities who travelled from many far near to help us out as well. And again, it brings out the good in people, and it just shows such a wonderful community spirit especially in such trying times as the recent flooding. So again, thanks to all concerned, and also to congratulations to the council who won the Bronze Award in the continued engagement food places. It's well done, and all you played a part in getting that award. So I've said enough here on the remarks. So I think we'll move on to declarations of interest. I would have to declare an agenda item, the Faster EV project. It's item 13. I would have to declare an interest as I'm a member of the East Border Region Board, and I would have to step aside for that agenda item. So that's are there any declarations of interest? There's nothing.
Chair,
go ahead, Nicky.
I also sit on that board, but there is a point through the council. Do we need to step aside? Just clarification.
Yeah. So that's fine. No, as I say, just have you stepping aside for that item that's on the paper. So with that, Dara, thanks so much. We move on to the action sheet. And the action sheets, as you know, are a rolling action sheet that continually evolves. Sorry. Go ahead, Jill. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, I also sit on that board, but I didn't hear the answer to Mickey's, Councillor Larkin's question, because I would have the same question. Do I need to step aside?
Yeah. Well, just as we've been advised, it's a matter of your own personal choice.
Okay.
If you want to stay for the agenda, or else, you know, step off and come back on again. But
okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jill. Thank you. We're on now to the action sheets of our last meeting, which were towards the end. This, the action sheets, as you know, are constantly evolving as they go along. And are there any items in the action sheet that members would like to raise, or are they happy that they're to an accurate record? If members are happy enough, could I have a proposer and seconder, please, in the box? Thank you, Derek. Councillor Finn and Mr. McAvoy, Leon, thank you. Proposed and seconded. So then we move on to the agenda item number 4. It's a notice of a notice of motion in relation to livestock worrying, and that motion is tabled by Councillor Clark. So I'm going to hand over to Councillor Clark in relation to the paper that's been presented. So go ahead, Willie, if there's anything you wish to comment on.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. I suppose to begin with, the motion, I did read the motion in the full council, so I don't have to read it again. I suppose in relation to the council getting involved in this subject matter, the council, you know, are continually trying to encourage people to get healthy, you know, to get exercise, and also increase the amount of visitors in the High Moors. So that's sort of how the council links with the motion. What we're trying to do is, the motion is trying to do is work with the relevant partners, raise awareness of the impact of dogs off leads and worrying livestock, and looking to maybe you know, produce a publicity campaign along with them partners. The partners I would suggest would be the likes of the National Trust, who own the part of the High Moors. NI Water would be another one, would have control over the water catchment area, and Mournheritage Trust would be heavily involved in that as well. So them three organisations I would see fundamental in trying to get an awareness campaign up and running. I think we have to, there's an attack, a number of attacks in around Binion and in the Glen River area towards Slieve Donard, where a number of sheep were attacked and they died. So there's the suffering to the livestock, but there's also the suffering to the farmer also. There's also wild ponies in the Mourns as well, and particularly during when they're foaling. And again, with sheep and other livestock, there's a serious risk to aborting. So what I'm aiming to do is try to get to raise the awareness campaign to a level where I don't believe it's at now. People think it's okay to walk up through the forest and then release their pets, you know, to let them have a run, and that's fair enough. But I think the message has to be out there when there's livestock of any variety that you that they need to be kept on leads and kept under control. Again, even for nesting birds as well, in that vicinity as well, this serious damage will cause there also. There's a the restoration program in the Mourns after the fire. There's a particular program being rolled out at the minute where there's cattle on the mountain at the back of the quarry on Thomas's Mountain. And they're working, the model they work with, they wear electric collars. You know, so there's no fencing or anything. It's just that electric current that keeps the cattle in. And if dogs are attacking the cattle won't get out. It'll keep coming back against the electric shock. So there's a danger of stampede as well, from cattle as well, in relation to that. If we can organise a meeting with these relevant parties and discuss a way forward about, you know, sharing resources, sharing expertise, but the best way to get the message out, I think that's what the motion is trying to achieve. Thanks to the paper also in regards to that. So happy enough there, Chair.
Yeah, well, Councillor Clark, thank you very much for that. And we'll see that Councillor Truesdale in the chat has a question and a comment. So go ahead, Jill.
Thank you, Chair. The first question would be really for the officers, that where is the 26 figure gained from? Because according to the DERA tables, between April 22 and June 23, there's only four. So, but I'm happy to come back to that at the end of the comment. So firstly, I'd like to thank Councillor Clark for bringing this motion. We know livestock worrying is against the law, but Newry Morn and Down has only four dog wardens, I think. And there has been repeated campaigns, and they're either passive or public. There's never a coercive approach because we don't have rangers with powers of enforcement, and dog wardens don't cover the mountains. But as Councillor Clark said, I'd like to see all relevant agencies having a joined up approach to this. Council, National Trust, Mountaineering Ireland, the other agencies that Councillor Clark mentioned, and a single joined up message regarding dogs on leads. Dogs are part of the family unit, but they're also potential predators. So they have to be incorporated into users of the area. And as he said as well, it's not just sheep and cattle, it's ground nesting birds and other small mammals, as well as people, other people being negatively affected by dogs off lead. Yesterday I was at a very good presentation from the Visitor Safety Group. It's a regional group that discussed livestock and walkers and shared areas of good practice. There was a lot of time spent on cattle. And a very simple sort of initiative that they had going was to keep the cows in a certain area was to play music to them, because cows are very responsive to music. So there's all that sharing of good practice that went on. So there's lots and lots of information out there, but there's very little to beat interpersonal engagement with visitors. But there isn't a staff. And this is something that myself and Alliance have mentioned many times, green jobs, preserving and protecting our areas of natural beauty. And this in turn feeds into the idea of a visitor centre in Donard Park, reminding the public of the countryside rules, the need for proper clothing, the need for proper resources. Finally, I don't have the stats. I would doubt anyone would have, but as a lifelong resident and mountain hiker, most of the time it's a lack of education from people who are outside the district. So is it necessary the motion restricts to people in the district? Should it not be for all residents and visitors to the district? So I'm happy to come back to the 26 question at the beginning there as well. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, just for clarification, the period in question was the 14th of November last year to the 14th of November this year. The report says the previous year, and just for clarification, that was the 12-month period that the 26 occurrences took place in.
22 to 23?
Yeah, the 14th of November 22 to the 14th of November 23, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Truesdale, thanks. Have members any further comments or queries they'd like to raise on this item? I'm happy enough with the contents of the paper and happy to proceed with the recommendations that have been tabled. And as in due course, we'll probably get an update on what's happening. So, well, is there anything from what you've heard, did you like to wrap up?
No, Chair, I'm happy enough with the comments that have been made. In regards to the motion, yeah, it could be visitors as well, but any publicity campaign has to be aimed at everybody. So, and I mentioned about the schools as well, education as well, if it could be maybe focused in the schools also, that the children maybe put pressure on
parents,
you know, the parents and all that as well. But it is for visitors also.
Thank you very much, Councillor Clark. And this agenda item was proposed by Councillor Leanne McAvoy and seconded by Councillor Una McGuinness. So thanks everybody for your contribution. I seen a P. So I just went by the screen. Sorry about that. We're going to agenda item number 5, and that's a consultation response on creating a smoke-free generation and tackling young vaping. So I'm going to hand over to Sinead, who's going to give us a run-through with the agenda. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. The purpose of this paper is for decision, and it is to seek committee approval on the draft response to the UK Government and Devolved Administration's consultation creating a smoke-free generation and tackling youth vaping. Members will be aware that smoking is the single most entirely preventable cause of ill health, disability and death in the UK, and is responsible for around 80,000 deaths a year, including about 2,200 deaths per year in Northern Ireland. On the 14th of October this year, the Department of Health and Social Care published a command paper, Stopping the Start, our new plan to create a smoke-free generation, setting our proposed action to protect future generation from the harms of smoking by creating the first smoke-free generation, which the UK Government and devolved administrations are now seeking to consult on. The consultation asks 3 questions, which are outlined in the report, for which new legislation would be needed. Members are asked to approve the consultation response to the UK Government and devolved administrations consultation on creating a smoke-free generation and tackling youth vaping, as outlined in Appendix 1.
Thanks very much, Sinead. And I see we've got a couple of councillors online. Councillor Michael Rice is proposing, but he would like to wish to make a comment, and followed by Councillor Truesdale. So, Michael, it's over to yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. No, I just would like to welcome this consultation, as before the last election, I had brought a motion to full council regarding my concerns with the sale of disposable vapes. The cynic in me believes that these vape products are presented as an alternative to smoking cigarettes and that, but with the targeting of young people and advertising and ease of access to these products, it feels rather counterproductive. So I welcome this consultation, and look forward to hear what the response is from the British government. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Councillor Rice. We've got a comment here in the chat from Councillor Truesdale, and she's also indicated below her comment that she's going to second, and Councillor Kearns has also indicated that she wished to second as well. So, Councillor Truesdale, thank you. Councillor Truesdale, you're on mute. Sorry. Thank you.
Is that better?
That's first class.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Okay, I'll do it myself.
I just wanted to reiterate what Councillor Rice said. There was an article today in the Morning Observer from the YMCA Youth Council, so I thought it would be interesting just to have it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, from the young people that we're trying to protect. So just a few comments. They said, no matter how much control there is, people will always find a way to gain access to them. And another one said, I think there should be more resources for people who are addicted to these sorts of things. And they noticed how the difference in marketing, the cigarettes have to have strict health warnings, but they don't see the same on vapes. Vapes are appealing if you think of the colours and the flavours. And you can see in smoking that they have things on the packets that say smoking kills, but on vapes they've got banana shake. So you can really see there that the young people are onto this as well, just what Councillor Rice said. They know that they're being targeted. So I think this is a crucial motion to get through. So I'd just like to reiterate my support. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Councillor Truesdale. And just more or less, I would to welcome the paper around the subject of vaping and our younger generation. And it's good to see a strategy be considered and put in place around vaping, and also to a certain extent smoking. But I'm firmly supportive of this and support, you know, I support the paper and principles. So if members are happy enough, for, as you say, Michael proposed, and then Jill came in and said it, and Geraldine Kearns has also indicated her support for the motion as well. So thank you very much. So we'll move on then to agenda item number 6, and this is connection with fleet replacement. So I'm going to hand over just for noting, but if there's anything in the paper that you'd like to ask questions on, you're more than welcome to ask or else contact the officers concerned. So thank you very much for that. So, yeah, could I have a proposer and seconder proposer? Councillor Enright, any like to make a comment? Councillor Enright? And Councillor Rice is going to second.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to comment on the fact that it's a big improvement over when this proposal first came forward about 2 years ago, when Dorina Carville and Johnny McBride were here. And the proposal was to have a like-for-like replacement of all these vehicles with their diesel counterparts. We now have a selection of these vehicles which are being replaced by electric. Now, I remember the time I wrote to Johnny and Dorina, and I copied them with the cost figures from Dundee Council, which many of you might have seen when there was a presentation organised at our sustainable conference in Armagh there about 2 years ago, just before COVID, where they showed that for a whole range of vehicles, particularly small and medium vans, that electric were substantially cheaper to run. And of course, Dundee have now moved on to have their depots with photovoltaic panels on them and their car parks with photovoltaic awnings. So they now run their light vans and smaller vehicles free of charge and significantly reduce their cost even more. So my comment would be that I'm delighted to see that we have actually made that change. I think it's the 13 vehicles. But I'm still scratching my head to know why we still are going to get more diesel, small and medium vans at the same time. Also, in Limerick Council, I've seen that they're using sweeper vehicles now, which run off electric, and they plug in back at the depot every night. I've also seen the same thing for mowing machines in Cork, as well as sweeper machines, which are electric as well. So, no, I think we need to be thinking about the cost of ownership. It's not just how much does it cost to buy a vehicle, which is what the first proposal came forward. And I'm delighted to see that we started to take into account the cost of ownership over the lifetime, which includes lower maintenance costs and lower fuel costs. So, whilst I'm glad to see this as a start, I think there's a big gap here because we still are not addressing the low-cost options that could be in some of these headings, particularly diesel, small and medium vans. Don't understand that one at all. It's clearly cheaper by electric, mowing machines and sweeper vehicles. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Enright. Andrew is going to reply to your comments, sir. Thank you.
Chair, just to make a couple of comments on some of the points that Councillor Enright's raised. Whilst we are pursuing some small and medium vans that will be electric, hand in hand with that, we're having to explore the issues to do with electric supply. We've got two very different scenarios. In the Greenbank depot in Uri, we can't accommodate very many electric vehicles because of the limit on the supply, whilst in Strangford Road in Downpatrick, where there's a lot more spare capacity. So that's an issue about which vehicles go where. And the other comment I just wanted to make was in relation to electric, what I call mechanical sweepers, but electric and mechanical sweeper vehicles, we are exploring an option to go for an electric mechanical sweeper. I would just say that I do believe that it is the whole life cost of the vehicle that is important, because some of these electric vehicles may be twice the capital cost of their diesel or petrol counterpart, but over the whole life there may be savings. So it is very important that the whole life expenditure is looked at, which is obviously the maintenance as well as the actual purchase of the vehicle. So, yeah, that can be a bit of a spend to save issue. But no, it was the points about capacity at depots for charging vehicles and about looking to bring forward a business case for an electric mechanical sweeper and to take that forward to tender as well in the new year.
Thanks so much, Andrew. I hope Cadogan that helps helps you get along the way. So if there's no further comments, we're going to move to the section of the meeting, which is in closed session. So I'll be reading out the following. Yes, that's okay. The we've got. There's a list coming in here. Taking fast with us. Let's see, closed session. No problem. Dead on. Thank you. Item 18 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the Council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. So, proposed by Councillor Clark and seconded by Councillor Gary Finn that we do go into closed session. Thank you. Thanks very much, sir. And I'm just going to read out the updates. The committee on what was agreed in closed session. And item number 7, upgrade to town centre CCTV and council facilities CCTV. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Truesdale, it was agreed to note the contents of the report and business case to be developed and brought to the committee with a number of options for a way forward for the proposed development of a new suite of digital CCTV systems for the council's facilities. Item number 8, on the proposal of Councillor Taylor, seconded by Councillor Truesdale, it was agreed to endorse the key pitch work principles and the commencement of the tender process for maintenance works as outlined in Section 2 of the Officer's Report. Item number 9, update on proposals to upgrade Castlewell Mayfair. On the proposal of Councillor McAvoy, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to note the contents of the officer's report and approve the recommendations contained within it. It was also agreed to provide a revenue budget for the May 2024 Castlewellan Fair. Item number 10, business case for CCTV Town Centre Maintenance and Pest Control. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed to note the officer's report and to approve the following. Business case for the maintenance of the town centre CCTV systems for a 2-year period from the 1st of April 24. Business case for the continuation of the council's pest control service for a 5-year period from the 1st of July 24. Item 11, business case for bedding plants 24. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Kearns, it was agreed to endorse the themes and the commencement of procurement for supply of bedding plants as outlined in Section 2 of the Officer's Report. Item 12, business case for appointment of a contractor to undertake asbestos control measures on behalf of the Council. On the proposal of Councillor Truesdale, seconded by Councillor Finn, it was agreed to note the Officer's Report and associated business case and accept the conclusion of the business case that option 1 is chosen as the preferred option. Option 1 will see the appointment through a tender process of a competent contractor to undertake a number of duties under the Council's asbestos management plan for a 3-year period. Item 13 was the faster EV project update and legal agreement with EasyGo. On the proposal of Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed to note the update on the faster EV project and approve the draft legal agreement, which was provided as Appendix 1 to the Officer's Report. It was also agreed to note that a final version of the legal agreement will be provided back to committee for noting in the event that there are further minor changes to the draft. Item 14 is the NFLA membership. On the proposal of Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to retain membership of the NFLA and to pay the current 23-24 membership fees as outlined within the officer's report. It was also agreed to seek representation on the NFLA Steering Committee via party leaders, and that as part of council membership, we look at the possibility of hosting an event. Item number 15, revised response to Department for Economy / Utility Regulator call for evidence of collection charges. On the proposal of Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor Truesdale, it was agreed to submit the revised call for evidence response as contained within Appendix 1 of the Officer's Report. Item 16, business case for purchase of forklift truck. On the proposal of Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor Truesdale, it was agreed to approve the business case for the purchase of a replacement forklift truck. For noting, items 17 and items 18. Item 17, R21 Joint Committee Members' Monthly Bulletin and Minutes of the 26th of October 23. On the proposal of Councillor McAvoy, seconded by Councillor Finn, it was agreed to note the bulletin and minutes. And the last item was in committee, item 18, R21 Joint Committee Meeting and Committee Minutes of Thursday, 25th September 23. Again, on the proposal of Councillor McAvoy, seconded by Councillor Finn, it was agreed to note the minutes. So tonight, that includes the meeting. Sorry. Yeah, it's all over the place tonight. Items 19 to 23 on your agenda is for noting. Councillor McAvoy has proposed the fair noting. And the seconder. And Councillor Finn has seconded. So I'd like to thank members for attending in person and for online and for officers and Sarah as well for doing the minutes and everything. Again, thanks very much, everybody, and safe home and enjoy the rest of the evening.